And verse 16, 17, and 18. And I'm going to read from the King James Version. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now I want to pick up where we left off Sunday. We were sharing a message called Faith for Reaping. We know that everything in this earth, in Genesis it said, as long as the earth remain, there'll be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and so forth, and it shall not cease. So sowing and reaping is part of this earth realm. And so we know that you're not going to reap unless you sow. And so we've also shared in these lessons that right at the beginning that everything has to be done by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he that operates in faith, he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he's what? A rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And Sunday I was sharing, there's three main things that one needs to do, and that is you need to walk in love. These are things under this new dispensation that we operate in, live in, are a part of, and that means we need to operate in the love of God. It's been shed abroad on our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And that's the commandment that we operate in, that we've been given a commandment to operate in the love of God. And we need to walk in faith. The just shall live by faith. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. And those that are led by the Spirit of God are what? Sons of God. And I believe that's Romans 8 and verse 14. So these three things are key. We need to walk in love, walk in faith, and be led by the Spirit of God. And so I was sharing on Sunday that two scriptures primarily in Proverbs chapter 10. I was sharing a scripture, verse 4, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. And the New Living Translation says, a wise youth, this is verse 5, a wise youth works hard all summer. A youth who sleeps away the hour of opportunity brings shame. So we can see here that when we sow, that who is going to do the multiplication? The Lord is. But there's going to come a time of reaping or harvesting, and we could sleep through an opportunity of harvesting and come up short. And so we were just sharing that in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. Well, is that possible? Folks today are observing conditions and so forth, and they're not sowing. I don't have enough. I can't sow, or I don't have enough to sow. I'll give God whatever's left. So we don't sow. And it says here, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. So if one is motivated or is yielding to conditions that they see, they may not sow and they may not reap. So anyways, we spent some time there. But this evening, what I want to do is I'd like to talk about the place of prosperity. How many know that there's a place that you're to sow your seed? There's a field, there's a right place that you're supposed to sow your seed. And if you sow it in the wrong place, guess what? You won't harvest. Or it may not be as productive as it should be. So there's a place that you're supposed to sow. There's a place that you should farm. I guess that's the best way to put it. And if you would, let's turn over to Psalm 66, and let's look at verse 12. Psalm 66, 12. When you get there, say amen. It says, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into what? A wealthy place. So there's a place that you're going to prosper. There's a place. And when you look in the other translations, the Good News translation says a place of safety, but you've brought us to a place of safety. The NIV says you've brought us to a place of abundance. The New Living Translation says you've brought us to a place of great abundance. The Message Translation, I like this. I'm going to read the Message Translation. This starting in verse 8, this is Psalm 66. It says, bless our God, O peoples. Give him a thunderous welcome. Didn't he set us on the road to life? Didn't he keep us out of the ditch? He trained us first, passed us like silver through refining fire. See, that's part of a process, right? Brought us into hard scrabble country, pushed us to the very limit, to our very limit, road tested us inside and out, took us to hell and back. Finally, he brought us to this well-watered place. Sometimes when you get on the road with God, you're going to be road tested inside and out. And you feel like you've been brought to hell and back, and sometimes you're ready to quit and throw the towel in. And so this is part of God's process, and it says he finally brought us to this well-watered place. So what are we really saying? God has a place of safety. He has a place of abundance. He has a place of prosperity for you. And we need to function in that place. We need to find where that place is. And I know for me, when I first started, I knew I was supposed to be in this particular church. It was an Assembly of God church. Wonderful. This is where Pastor John Lipscomb was. This is where Pastor Sarah and Clinton were. Of course, I met them there in 1978. And I continued. You know, when they left and went to Bible school, it was a big thing, right? When they came back, it was a big thing. And there was a mass exodus in that church. Everybody wanted to go with them. And I'll be honest, so did I. I did. 1980, I'm like... And the Holy Ghost said, no. He said, no. And I went, why? And he said, no, not yet. And so I was obedient and stayed, sang in the choir, did whatever I was called to do. And in 1982, I remember it like yesterday, he said, spoke to me, and said, now you can go. Boy, he's like, I'm gone. And I did. It was in April of 1982. I left and went down to Peace Hall. And so anyways, you know, but I stayed in the place where God told me to stay. I just didn't go because who is the Lord of your life? Jesus is. So I'm not free to just go where I want, do what I want, pay tithes if I want, give money if I... No, I'm under His lordship. So that means I'm going to ask Him. I may want to go, but I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to stay where I'm supposed to be. And so that's what I did. And, you know, the rest, as they say, is history. But this, for that season, that's where I was supposed to be. Moved here, this is where I was supposed to be. And stayed here, planted, didn't move. A lot of people came and go. A whole lot of people. I had people call me years later and say, "You still in that church?" I said, "Yeah, why not? That's where God told me to be. Right here." And people come and go. It's really, I don't want to say it's sad, but we need to pray about it because folks just, they bring almost the same carnal thinking that they have in the world. It's almost as if Jesus is not Lord in their life. I don't like this job. Go to the headhunter. I'm getting a new job. Little pressure, I'm out of here. I don't like this place. I don't like this house. I don't like this neighborhood. I don't like these people. I'm moving. There's no stability. And it's the same thing, that same kind of thinking is brought into the church sometimes. People don't like a little something in the church, gone. You look up, where's Joe? Where's Mary? They're gone. They don't even tell you they're going. They're just gone. I don't like this. I don't like what they said. I don't like anything, so I'm going. And they bring that from church to church to church to church to church. So where is the place that they're supposed to prosper? Guess what? They never do. They never reach a place of maturity because they're hopping all the time. And so this is where God has put it on my heart that we need to find the place of prosperity for us, the place that we're supposed to be, and stay there until the Lord tells you to go. See, we don't tell people to come and go. They come and they stay planted. Those that are supposed to stay, stay. And then there's some, they come for a season, but there's a way to leave. There's a way. And so, anyways, there's a place of safety, a place of plenty, a place of abundance. And I know for me, it's not always been easy, but God is working out in that process as we stay steady. And we're going to walk through some lives in the Bible where we can see as they walked through and obeyed the direction of the Lord, they prospered. Not only were they prospering, but they developed not only a natural prosperity, but a spiritual prosperity. They were elevated and prospered. Let's turn over to Acts for a moment. Acts chapter 17. We're going to look at the life of Abraham and Isaac and Saul. We'll look at a few of these lives quickly, and you can further study those out. But let's just for a moment, let's just take a quick look at Acts chapter 17. And let's look at verse 26. Acts chapter 17 and verse 26. And the King James, and I'm going to read it also in a few other translations to add a little light to it. verse 26, it says, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined." Who hath determined? The Lord has. "And hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation." Let me read this in the Amplified, and it says, "And he hath made from one common origin, one source, one blood, all nations of men to settle on the face of the earth, having definitely determined their allotted periods of time and the fixed boundaries of their habitation, their settlements, lands, and abodes." So God has determined, just using this as a support, God has predetermined a place for you and a time for you. Each one of us has a place for us to prosper in. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Familiar with this scripture? It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works," which what? "God hath before" what? "Ordained that we should walk in them." So that means he's already preordained the things, the good works that you're to walk in. The New International says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." He's already prepared in advance the good works that you should do. So, let me read this in the Amplified. "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time." Taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, "that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live." So, let me ask you a question. Is it your choice to go where you want to go? No. It's no longer you that live, but Christ that lives in you. It's not your choice. He's already prearranged a set place for you to prosper and to live the good life. Not only prosper naturally, but prosper spiritually. And so we can see here that we're his workmanship, and he has prearranged, preordained a place. So we really can't go where we want to go. We can't do what we want to do. We have to do what? Walk in love, walk by faith, and be led by the Holy Ghost, so that we can walk in the place that we're to walk in. So let's turn over just for a moment. Let's go over and look at Abraham in Genesis 12. And as you're turning there, this is a scripture, it's further down in my notes here, but let me just bear this out. We talk about good works and a place that God has preordained for us. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know all things, work," what? "Together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his what? Purpose. And that purpose he's already established for you. So we just can't go where we want and do what we want. In the Amplified, it says, we are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan. See, that's the thing. God has a plan for each one of us. For good to those and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. That's the point I wanted to bring out, that God has a design. He has a purpose for each one of us, and it's important that we find the place that we're supposed to be, and in that place, do what God has called us to do, to support, to help. That's important. So we're over in Genesis 12. Let me get there. And we're looking at Abram, the father of faith. And you can see here, familiar with this story, starting in verse 1, it says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee what? Out of thy country. So he's got to go to what? A place that's been established by God. Get out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will do what? I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Where? In the land that I will show thee. So he was only going to prosper and be made great. Where? In that place. And in verse 4, so Abram did what? He departed. He obeyed. He left. He departed as what? As the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And let me jump down here. So he left this place that he was familiar with to a place unfamiliar. How many have left places of comfort, places of familiarity, to a place that they didn't know, wasn't comfortable, and you had to make a choice, you had to leave? Every one of us have. Whether it was moving from one church to another, leaving a job, going somewhere. But let me ask a question. Let me ask another question. How many, you don't have to raise your hand, but are there some of us that should have left and didn't leave? And there's some of us there. I know me, I was working I was trying to pay off some debts that I was in, and I decided, without asking the Lord, to work two jobs. And I was working during the day and working at night. And I'm telling you, I was doing phone sales or whatever it was. And down here, I wasn't comfortable. Right down here. And one day, I'm sitting in that office, and I heard the Holy Ghost say to me, I don't want you doing this. I want you to go to Wednesday night service. I went, what? I got bill collectors calling, screaming on the phone. Now, I didn't create the debt. I'll just tell you that. I didn't create it. This was a situation. Anyways, that's not the point. The point was, I was doing the best I could to deal with this situation, and I felt working a second job was going to help. But the Lord said, I don't want you doing that. He said, leave and come to church service on Wednesdays. And boy, I'll tell you, that was hard. In the natural, it was hard. I'll tell you, it was very difficult because I'm dealing with the stuff in the natural. But as I did, he said, I want you in church service on Wednesday. And that's what I did. Did it change overnight? No, but supernaturally, things began to change. It began to work out. those people that were harassing me, things worked out. You understand my point? So when you obey, God begins to do what? Work on your behalf. It didn't change overnight, but it changed. And he began to work. So the point is, every one of us are going to have to make some choices and decisions in life, but you got to make sure, is it the Holy Ghost directing you, or is it pressure? See, always make sure that the choices that we make, it's not about the money. You know, it's not about money. I'm doing this because I need more money. I'm getting this job because I need more money, or I need more money to pay off bills. No, you need to trust in the Lord and ask Him, what should I do? If He tells you to get a second job, get it. If He tells you to leave that job for something else, get it. But if He tells you to stay put, that may be the very place that they're observing and watching you. And they may promote you. And you're gone before they even have the opportunity. You see, and some of us move because of pressure and we miss out. We miss. So it's good to, it's not only good, it's necessary to listen to the leading of the Holy Ghost. Now, when you look at verse 10, see now God told him to do what? He said, depart, go out of your country to a place I'll show you. And you can go down further, verse 5, he said here, and they went forth and into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. Where are they? Where are they? Canaan land. Okay. So let's go to verse 10. Or 9. It says, and Abram journeyed, going on still towards the south. Verse 10. And there was what? A famine in the land. And what happened? Abram went down into Egypt. Let me ask a question. Did the Lord tell him to go into Egypt? No. He didn't tell him. He just decided there's a famine. I'm heading south. I'm going to Egypt land. And you know the rest of the story. He says, you know, when I come in here, they're going to say my wife is a fair woman to look upon. Tell him she's my sister. But what ends up happening when he found out, when Pharaoh found out, what'd he do? He sent him out of the land. He said, get out of the land. And so you can see in verse 13, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was what? Very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning. He's right back where he started from. Between Bethel and Hai. And so you can see here, he was blessed, but he needed to be in the place that God told him to be. He had to be in the place. And here's the thing. When you look at the life of Abram, he would have never learned faith, because what, after he went into that land, what did God ask him for? Yeah, he asked him for his son. Right. Did he hesitate? No. And so he learned some obedience by just getting up out of the land that he was in. And sometimes God can't bring us to the next place spiritually until we obey the first things that He gives us to do. See, it's wonderful. We want to be blessed naturally. That, to me, is a byproduct. The most important thing is, did you obey God? Are you in the place you're supposed to be? And then once we are, He begins to nudge us and prompt us and do what? Develop us into the man or woman of God that He wants us to be. That's for sure. Because we will never reach the destiny that God has for us unless we obey. Now, talking about Abraham, I'm just going to turn over there. You can turn over Hebrews chapter 11. And you can look at verse 8, Hebrews 11:8. talking about Abraham, says, by faith, Abraham, this is chapter 11, verse 8 in the Hebrews, says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive, for an inheritance, obeyed. See, and you read the story, you can see here, and he went out, what? Not knowing. He obeyed, not knowing. I'll tell you, that's the walk of faith. You're obeying, not knowing. And I believe, this is personally, that I believe that God doesn't fully show us everything. Even where this property and all of this, he doesn't unfold it all. He just says, go here, call that in, believe me. Because I believe if he showed us the full extent, first of all, it might go to your head and you might say stuff or out of just go, ugh, I can't do that. Are you crazy? That's bigger than I can even think or imagine. But God is going to prepare us spiritually so that as we take a step and grow spiritually and take a step and grow spiritually and get another victory, all going towards that objective, taking a step, what's happening? You're being built up in here in faith, strong in faith, getting another victory. So when he says, take this, you go, yes, we're prepared, not way back here wondering, should I or shouldn't I take this little step? You can't take a big step from there to there. You're going to have to take little steps, get little victories that he leads you all in that direction. And so that's the same thing. Here, he wants us to know, if this is your place, then this is the place that you're to be developed spiritually. So you can grow up strong in faith, in love, and be strong in the Holy Ghost. And not wondering, should I be here? Shouldn't I be here? To me, the thought never, I'm telling you, since I've been here, it never occurred to me, ever. Because when the Lord said, go, I didn't turn back. Matter of fact, the only person I told out of respect and honor was Pastor John, who was the pastor. I didn't go around and discuss it. I never told any members I was leaving. I never told any congregants I was leaving because as far as I was concerned, it didn't matter. Because I knew, I kind of knew what I was going to hear. And so I left, told him, he blessed me, and so forth. And so here we are, and I believe that when God told me to go, this was the place I was supposed to be. And it never occurred to me to ever leave. And because the Lord sent me, now were there times that I wanted to leave? Absolutely. Many times. Discouragement. And you know, you hear anybody, you know, you're faced, you're natural, you're human, you're faced with money shortages, you're faced with working with people, you're faced with working in the dynamics of a ministry, like any job. And there are times you just say, I've had enough. I'm ready to go. I'm quitting. Now, you don't say that to anybody, you just say it to God. And I felt like it, talked like it to myself. And I remember right here, he said, but I told you to come here. Okay. And you sit down and you take a deep breath and you say, okay, I'll obey. And you work out what you need to work out. See, because I also believe this, that if you can't handle the little things that go on, you won't be able to handle that in a larger magnitude. If you watch the lives of any minister that's overseeing a large ministry, they started at the bottom and they worked just like corporate America. You look at any CEO or any president, where did they start? A lot of them in the mail room. They started and they worked themselves up and they worked through and grew and matured into that. They weren't just put in it. Yes, corporations bring from the outside people, but they're what? Seasoned. They're not novices. They're seasoned executives. And so the same thing. When we're in the right place, God will begin to develop us into mature, stable Christians. And that means we're going to have to endure some things in the place that God has put us. And what is that? That's a great opportunity to walk in faith. That's a great opportunity to seek Him when everything looks like it's upside down. Amen. Now, I'm in the wrong spot. Hold on, I'm like Pastor Judy here. He's doing some things here. Let's go to Genesis 26. We're over in Genesis. Oh no, you were in Hebrews. So let's go back to Genesis. Genesis 26. And familiar story about Isaac. And you can see starting in verse 1, and there was a famine in the land. Chapter 26 in Genesis. Beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, what? Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land. Well, boy, that, you know, you get an instruction like that, you're like, can't be the Lord. Get thee behind thee. Sojourn in this land, and I will what? I will be with thee, and will what? Bless thee. So when we're told to go somewhere, and it doesn't look favorable, and it's the Lord, He's not a respecter of persons. He says here, I will be with thee, and I will what? Bless thee. For unto thee, and unto thy seed, I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Let me ask a question. Can your obedience affect generations? Oh yeah, absolutely. Can your obedience affect your children? You better believe it. We see sometimes families just uproot their whole family, move. Go here, go there. And they may sometimes wonder why they're not reaching a place of prosperity, spiritually and naturally, because they're not in the place where God told them. So it's difficult for God at that point to really bless them. Not that they're not ever going to be blessed, but they may never reach the place of abundance, spiritually, and spiritual growth and maturity. You know, I think about it. You know, there were many here. Well, maybe many is not the right term. That maybe it's not an exaggeration, but maybe I'll just say some. that knew they had a call upon their life. And it was recognized that they had a call, and they made it known that they had a call to the pastors. I'm called. I'm anointed. And made you know that they wanted to be used. And so when they weren't used in the capacity that they felt they should have been, they left. So they never stayed in the place that they should have stayed to what? Be developed. Be developed. Be developed in the place. And some, even today, you look at their ministries, they're not, I will say, in from a natural standpoint, they're probably not as productive as they should be. Because they never stayed where they were supposed to stay. And so, this is one thing when it comes to faithfulness and loyalty. I don't care how difficult the road may seem. You stay planted. I don't care what your friends say, your mama says, your daddy says, whoever says, why are you staying there, blah, 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 blah. You've got to know, if God told me this is my home, this is where my field is, that you stay planted. Because that's where your safety is. That's where your abundance is. And it may not seem like that sometimes, but what does the word say in Galatians? You will reap in due season if you faint not. I'm thinking about, well, we'll get back to Isaac, but the thought, Pastor Greg and I have shared this on a few occasions. We've been impressed within the last year, go to this meeting. And we're like, we don't have time to go. And we've said, no, we're not going. Nope, not going. And then after we both said no, I was sitting quiet and I said, I said, Pastor Greg, I think we need to reconsider that no. And, you know, we both knew what we had to do. But when we said yes and moved in that direction, our provision was there. The connection that was supposed to be made, the divine connection that was supposed to be made with the Hagans was there. If we had decided not to go, all the things that have happened since September of last year to now wouldn't have happened. Would not. Would not have happened. And we could have thwarted the plan of God, missed it by a country mile. And so even when we've decided, well, let's go out to Hampton, let's go here. When we went, we had no plans other than to just go and receive the word. But there was impartation that was made. We were where we were supposed to be. Now, have other meetings come up and we say, we're not impressed to go. But those we were. And when we went, there were impartations made. God was speaking to us some things that were on our heart. And so the thing is, it's important to know, where is that place you're supposed to be? If it's at a meeting or if this is your church home, you follow the Holy Ghost because that's where you will prosper. I hope that makes sense to you. I hope I'm not speaking Greek tonight, but if everybody's awake, but I'll tell you, it means a lot to me because if you've never walked through some things and you feel like you're in a hard place and God opens up and you walk into this wealthy place or a place of provision, I'll tell you, it's an exciting thing. To me, it is. And it's exciting even in these days now because God is revealing himself strong on the behalf of this ministry. Because the choices that we make affect you, affects the future of this ministry. When we sit down and go, oh, I don't think I want to go, it could affect millions of people. It could affect the future of this ministry and generations. And so we're careful, and I say the word careful, we're sensitive to his leading because we want to be able to prosper. Everybody be affected by that. Does that make sense? So Isaac, you can see here, and the familiar verse, when he stayed in the land where there was a famine, in verse 12, Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year a hundredfold, and what? The Lord blessed him. So even in that land which had a famine, he sowed, but he stayed in the land that the Lord told him. He said, don't go into Egypt. Stay in this land right here. And he prospered. Now, just as an aside, as we close, the same obedience you can see here, the obedience that came through Pastor Sarah and Clinton, they obeyed. What if Pastor Clinton had not obeyed the direction of the Lord to go to Rhema Bible Training Center? We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have this building. We wouldn't be living in this good place, this place of abundance. And so they decided, we're leaving. We're going to pack everything up and go. And as they came back, they still had to follow him. He said, this is your place in Hackensack. Where? Start in your home. Use what you have. And so as they obeyed, what did they do? God took them step by step, little by little. He said, okay, start in your house. Then they went from the house when they ran out. They went over to Teaneck, to Pomander Walk, this little chapel. Out of that, when they ran out of room, we came here. Paid money for it, $1 million. So you can see here, and what happened? When they came to this place, what happened? I remember I walked through those processes, and I remember when they went to Little Ferry and tried to buy that place, there was picket signs, get out of town, we don't want you here. It was a real tense, you remember, right? It was very ugly. And they didn't want him there. And at that time, you know, it was a lot of, I'll just say, well, they weren't welcome without getting into the details. Because it's not edifying. But the part is, they went there, that wasn't their place. So what'd they do? Kick the dust off and just said, thank you very much, goodbye. This isn't the place. But when this place came, it was like, it happened. And so everybody chipped in. We moved in here from June, in a month, 4 weeks. This place was gutted and ready for service. 24/7 it went. They worked 24 hours a day. They had construction crews in here 24 hours a day for 30 days. And they came in here, gutted this facility, and in 30 days, they were up and running. Wasn't complete. But in this place, they moved in 85, and because they were in the right place, in 1987, they paid it off. 2 years. This is the place. Place of safety, place of provision. And the words came forth from Kenneth Copeland, this place is a lighthouse. It's a safe harbor for people. And so that's the key. Wherever that place is, it's a safe harbor for you. It's a place of provision, a place of abundance, a place of safety. And so, I don't know who I'm speaking to, but anybody who contemplates leaving a place of safety, you're going to get out in some rough winds and some tough seas. And you don't want to be there. You want to make sure I'm where God told me to be, regardless of what I may be walking through. God's bigger than that. And so we've all been through it. We've all walked through some things. But He's a big God. He's a mighty God and able to sustain us. Amen. But the main thing is, and I wrote these particular scriptures down in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And I like the message. It says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Yes, sir. Listen to His voice in everything that you do. He'll keep you on track. Everything you do and everywhere you go, He will keep you on track. But we got to obey. Amen. 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 I trust that just helps you, encourages you. But I know the Holy Ghost. I'm at this. If there's one person in here that needed to hear that, that was the Holy Ghost for you. That was the Lord Jesus that directed this message for you. Because I'm telling you, he had a purpose in it. And sometimes we need to be reminded that our path is not just, for naught. That it's not just a place of, when we say abundance, it means everything. That means every part of our life. It says, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And this place that we're in is a place where your soul can prosper. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So don't give up. Keep steady. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your heart attuned to Him. And don't faint. Amen. Thank you, Father. Well, Father, we thank you for this message. Thank you for guiding our thoughts and our words. And as we go, I pray over every person here, and I decree that you guide them and speak to them, Father, in every area of their life. Give them direction. Let them know that it's you. And Father, encourage them to stay steady in these times that we live in. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.